Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Carl and Crew Mornings, good to have you with us. Thanks for starting your day with us. You've got Young Thunder and Allie.
Yes.
And that's it.
I love it. It's perfect.
I like saying that because it's just kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it is. It's not, well, I mean, usually we don't have two people, only two people right in here. And so when we stop just after two names,
it's like, this is it.
This is it.
Carl's
got
some vacation time and Super Di got some vacation time. And it rarely happens. Normally we try to stagger it. So we just have one person off at a time. But this time it just overlapped. Whoop. And so we said, you know what? Yeah, Young Thunder and I can hold it down for a couple days solo.
So, Allie, you have done reporting at a TV station before you did this job. Mm-hmm. Did you ever kind of feel like you do now a little bit, where you've got a little bit of a skeleton crew and you're trying to put things together in terms of, you know, you don't have your full team and you're trying your best to make it work? Because does that overwhelm you? Did that overwhelm you if you had that experience before?
Oh, yes. Yes. So let me tell you a story.
Yes.
So there's in news, because I was a television news reporter before I was in radio way back in the day. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that new reporters starting out have to learn how to do is called one man band.
Okay.
This means you go out and you are responsible for everything. You have the camera, you have the microphone,
wow,
and you are the reporter. So when I was in college was the first time I had to try this one man band.
Wow. That sounds terrifying.
And so I had to go out and I had to do this interview and I had this heavy camera, and then you have to set up the tripod and try to get the camera leveled and try to make sure that the shot is framed correctly.
Yeah.
So that the person that you're interviewing is actually in focus. And then you have to take the microphone and ask the questions. And I will be the first to admit I was really bad at it. I mean, really bad at it. I remember coming back to I was a campus reporter first,
sure,
before I got like a real job. And so I came back to the newsroom after I had gone out by myself,
yeah,
and I was crying. I think the video, I hadn't color focused it correctly. So the video was blue.
Mm.
So the person looked like a Smurf who I was interviewing. His face was all blue and everything around it was blue. And
yes.
I'm going to my news director and I'm like, I'm really sorry. I tried. I just start crying. It was so embarrassing. And she was one of those kind of no nonsense,
oh,
you're going to learn by toughing it out kind,
oh,
of
man,
one. So she kind of looked at me and, you know, she didn't have a lot of sympathy and was basically looked at me like, get it together. If you want to be a reporter, you've got to be a little tougher than this.
Oh, man.
So I said to myself, if I ever have to try to do this all by myself, I think I need a new career because I can't do this. So thankfully, when I got my first real job, I had the luxury of having someone go with me. So I was never alone.
Okay,
I got to go out with a photographer who did the camera stuff, which I wasn't great at. And I got to focus on being a reporter.
Good.
Which was more of my skill set.
Understandable.
I'm not a super techie person, but I still am embarrassed thinking about how I cried. It was so lame.
Oh, goodness. No, it wasn't lame. It makes sense. Can I tell you a story from my side of things?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so taking the job here, you know.
Oh, yeah. Did you cry?
Oh, I did. I did cry.
Because, oh, tell me.
Well, I was doing the phone screening stuff. You know, that was my original job. I wasn't supposed to be doing any of what I'm doing right now. You
right
shouldn't be hearing my voice right now, but praise God you are. But we started out as a show when I started called Carl and June.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved to Carl and Crew.
Right.
On the very first day of Carl and Crew, we had some technical glitches to start the show. I was the one watching the board because Diana was out.
Okay.
And so we had kind of a skeleton crew already, and I'm watching the board, which at that time you shouldn't have let me been doing. you shouldn't have let me do it. You just shouldn't have. And so the first half hour of the show, 5 to 5:30, was just mess up after mess up after mess up. And, you know, Carl's being super gracious. He's giving me the grace. He's trying to help me get through it. And I looked at Sputnik, who was here at the time.
Hannah, remember her?
Yes. And I, with the tears in my eyes, I said, I can't do this anymore. I need you to take care of it. I need to go do something else.
Oh, man.
And so that was the only time I had, but that was about 5 years ago now. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, when you're and maybe you are in a workplace, because I know a lot of places are short staffed. So it's not like people taking vacation. It's that jobs aren't being filled as quickly as they used to be. So props to you if you are going to a job and holding it down today.
Yes.
And there are way more people that are needed, but you are still somehow making it work at whatever job, whether you're in healthcare, whether you're in a restaurant, no matter where you are. Hats off to you.
We understand and we are thankful for you.
Thankful for those of you showing up to a job where you're maybe understaffed. I know that that's a real thing and you're feeling that stress today. We're talking about stories all this week. We're going to be sharing different angles of stories in Scripture. Here's the deal. Lots of people encountered Jesus. We see it in the Bible. When they walked away, what was the story that they told? What did they tell people about what just happened?
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
That's exactly what we're doing today. We are celebrating what God is doing in you. I want to give you some real practical help, specifically this week through different interviews and guests and passages of Scripture in this topic of sharing your story. Have you ever had somebody ask you about your testimony or to share your story and you got a little tongue-tied?
Yes.
You weren't really sure what to share. This recently I asked somebody. I met this woman at an event and she was fascinating to me. I got a little hint that there was more to her story. And so I asked her, hey, tell me your story. And she kind of sighed, one of those like, how much time do you have?
Yeah. And that's kind of the hard part, is because when you're usually talking with people about your story, you don't have all the time in the world to do so. So you got to think, okay, what parts do I share? Yeah. What do I leave out? What's most important?
It all started back in 1995 when they told my parents, it's a boy, right? Yeah. Jonathan, like something like that, right? How much time do you have? No, we're going to Mark 5. And this is an encounter that Jesus has with a man who lived in the tombs, who had unclean spirits. He was possessed by demons. So a little bit of background, no one could control this man. He was the picture of kind of wild. He was unkempt. He sat in the tombs. He wore no clothes. He cried out constantly. He sat and cut himself with stones. I mean, if you really picture what this was like, this was someone who had the appearance of being extremely disturbed. I don't know if the people in the city that knew him would have said he's possessed by demons, but they certainly would have said something is not right with this man.
Yeah. And I think that because these small towns, I'm sure one of the things that was the most terrifying is the part of the passage where it says no one had the strength to restrain him.
Right.
So if this guy got out, you have no idea what he's going to do.
Right, exactly. He was unpredictable. So he was kept under guard and chained. He was shackled, but he always broke free.
Yeah.
And we learn because of Scripture that he was actually possessed by many demons. So when Jesus asked him, what's your name? A voice speaks that the name is Legion, because there's so many demons that have possessed this man. So clearly he is being extremely tormented. So he has this encounter with Jesus where Jesus says, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then the unclean spirits are sent into a herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs rushes over the cliff. And there's a lot to this. It's in Mark 5. Yeah. So you can go read it when you have some time. But I really want to focus on what happened after. So we have this before picture of this man who's is out of his, he's not in his right mind. He's unclothed, he's wild, he's cutting himself. And then when he has this encounter with Jesus, he's clothed, he's in his right mind, he's sitting there with Jesus. All the townspeople see it and they're not really sure what to make of it. And then I want to read to you Mark 5, starting with verse 18. And this is Jesus is about to get into the boat. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So you have to wonder, what would be the story that this man would tell? Jesus, this is one of the few instances where Jesus does not permit somebody to come with him and instead says, go and tell everybody what I just did for you. Yeah. A lot of times Jesus would do the opposite and say, shh, don't go spreading this around because he knew the risk. But for this man, he gives him an assignment. Go tell everyone what I've done for you and how I've had mercy on you.
Yeah.
What do you think of that assignment that he was given?
I think that it's a fantastic assignment because when you are freed from something, especially like just freed from something, you know, it's fresh on your brain, and the amount of gratitude that's there and the excitement that's there is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine him walking in and all of these people going, wait a minute. First off, that guy has clothes. Second off, he's not running in and screaming and shouting and throwing things. Like, you know, this guy seems to be of his right mind. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you know, I imagine him saying like, listen, none of you could help me. The only thing you could do was restrain me and keep me away from people.
Yeah.
Jesus saved me. Mm. He took every demon out of me that was inside of me.
And the word here that's used when it says he was healed, the original language, it's translated, it's the same word that's used for saved. So there was a spiritual healing that took place here. This, he became a new person. And I really love that part of the story that he focuses on is when Jesus tells him to tell him how I had mercy on you. And I think about somebody who's really been tormented, how powerful that is to know that there's a God who shows mercy, who takes a mind that's been disturbed and shows mercy and brings healing. How powerful is that?
Hey, this is Bart Miller for Mercy Me, and you're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings on Moody Radio Chicago.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings. Just me and Young Thunder.
That's right.
For a couple of days, we got Diana and Carl both have some international?
International.
Why did that word come to mind?
I have no idea.
No, neither one of them are international, but they both have some vacation time that's overlapping this week.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Did you have Bible heroes? Did you grow up having heroes in the Bible?
That's a good question. You know what? I don't think so. I don't think I ever really thought of them as like my heroes. I think I thought they were pretty cool. You know, like David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think those two stories probably stuck out the most to me.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
You know, the interesting thing is if you were anything like me, if you maybe were raised in church or went to Sunday school, I knew a lot more about the Bible, like Bible stories before I actually read the Bible.
Yes, me too. Me too.
It's like for a lot of years. So hearing about different stories, different men, different women in the Bible. And then the thing that struck me once I actually started reading the Bible for myself was how flawed the people actually were.
Yeah.
So when you grow up and you hear a story of David and Goliath and you hear about David throwing the stones and taking down the giant, or you hear about Daniel in the lion's den, it almost is, you can almost have a cartoonized or almost fictionalized or storybook version of it.
Yes, absolutely.
That I don't know this totally healthy in terms of really understanding all of it.
Yeah, I it's funny because I don't think that I ever even had the realization. I was in the same boat as you where I had heard the stories, but reading the Bible itself, being able to kind of contextualize and say, okay, this adult David as king is the same David that killed Goliath.
Right.
Like those were connections that I didn't make as a kid. And so I do remember, I think it was probably in high school where it kind of came clear to me for the first time, like, oh, these weren't like perfect people.
Yeah.
All of them made kind of drastic mistakes.
Big ones. Big mistakes that if you think about kind of what we consider disqualifying today
yeah.
when we look at mistakes that are made by different leaders. And I'm not offering an opinion here either way, but there are mistakes that many would consider disqualifying. And David, in particular, definitely in a lot of people's minds would have been in that category mm-hmm. of that might disqualify you from future ministry.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Having an affair and having the husband killed, that might disqualify you from ministry today, right?
Yeah.
So coming up, we are going to talk about specifically about the story of David. It's actually featured in this month's Today in the Word. If you follow along and you read those daily devotional, you have been reading a study of 2 Samuel. It's called Tragedy and Triumph. Coming up, we are going to interview the author, Dr. Ryan Cook, phenomenal professor here at Moody. We're going to look a little bit more at the life of David and this story in 2 Samuel. What can we glean? God uses imperfect people. Praise God for that. Dr. Ryan Cook is joining us coming up.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, we have a treat this morning. I have a special guest I want to introduce, Dr. Ryan Cook. He's a professor of Old Testament and Hebrew at Moody Theological Seminary. He's also a key writer for Today in the Word. You are reading his work this month if you are following along. The August theme is Tragedy and Triumph, a study in 2 Samuel. Dr. Cook, good to have you with us this morning. First, the title, Tragedy and Triumph. Why is that a good way to sum up what's going on in 2 Samuel?
Yeah, well, it's an appropriate title in one sense because there are a number of tragedies and triumphs in the book. You could really make both those words plural, tragedies and triumphs in 2 Samuel. One example of that would be at the very beginning of the book. It opens with David hearing about the death of Saul and Jonathan, which is a tragedy in one sense. Jonathan was David's best friend. They were so close. And he knows that the death of King Saul is a tragedy for the nation as a whole. At the same time, that becomes the reason in which he is able to become king. And so it becomes a part of David's triumph there. And that's just in the first couple chapters of the book.
Mm. Now, David, what's different about the portrayal or the what we see about David in Scripture? I mean, we certainly get much more of a complete picture of who he is than maybe some other kings, right?
Yeah, David is the most rounded character in the Old Testament as a whole, in terms of you see a lot of his great strengths, his deep faith, his generosity in both defeat and victory. But then you also see his, you know, conniving, his famously, of course, his adultery with mm-hmm. Bathsheba,
right.
His passivity. So you get, you kind of get the complete picture of David, which is really unusual in terms of hearing about kings, say, from the ancient world. I mean, imagine if you were an ancient Israelite historian. Let's write about our most famous king. Typically, you wouldn't include a lot of the stuff that the writer of 2 Samuel includes about David. It's a very raw and honest portrayal of who David is in all of his strengths and weaknesses.
And Dr. Ryan Cook with us right now. We're talking about Today in the Word, the August theme, Tragedy and Triumph, the study in 2 Samuel. As you were studying and researching and preparing for this, what were some key themes that you pulled out from 2 Samuel that you focus on in this month's devotional?
Yeah, one key theme is the nature of sin and its consequences. There's probably no more profound narrative portrayal of the consequences of sin than in 2 Samuel, when you see his abuse of power, his sin with Bathsheba, and how the consequences of that spiral out for years to come in his reign. And it's a really interesting dynamic to know not only what the nature of sin is, but how serious it is and how disruptive it is in terms of our relationship with God and our families and with each other, with those that we have influence over. So that's a key theme. Mm. I think another key theme is God's faithfulness through this. God's faithfulness to David, his providing a way for David to be forgiven. And the hope that David gives, or that God gives Israel for the future as well in the book. So that God's faithfulness, another key theme.
Yeah, Jonathan and I were talking earlier, Young Thunder, who's in here with me. We were talking about how when we heard about Bible stories when we were younger, before we actually started reading the Bible, it was surprising to learn that these characters were so flawed. And things that may even be disqualifying from public ministry by today's standards, God forgave and still called David a man after his own heart. As you've studied this, it's this interesting, puzzling picture of the grace of God that extends far beyond than maybe what we're comfortable with.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you look at the Old Testament or the story of 2 Samuel, really any of the Old Testament narratives, there's only one hero, and that's God.
Yes.
Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the only hero. The rest of the people are flawed at best, and that includes David. And so, yeah, it's interesting how we often want to turn these Old Testament characters like David, say in a Sunday school class or something, into these moral examples we want to put on a pinnacle. But the Old Testament itself doesn't do that.
Hmm.
It more wants to highlight how God is the one who's faithful. And it's not about what David did for Israel, but it's about what God has done for David and for Israel through David, even in spite of himself at times.
Yeah. So coming up, let's wrestle with this. We're going to be talking all week long about story and testimony. Everybody has a story to tell. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable to go into some of the details. What can we learn from the story of David when it comes to sharing our own testimony? More with Dr. Ryan Cook coming up.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Dr. Ryan Cook with us right now, professor of Old Testament and Hebrew at Moody Theological Seminary. Also key writer for Today in the Word. His work is featured this month in the August publication, Tragedy and Triumph, a study in 2 Samuel. So when we look at the story of David and all of the detail that's included in Scripture, what can we glean from that as we think about sharing our own testimony, our own story, especially for people who have maybe a past that's not comfortable to talk about?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that I took away from spending all this time with David in 2 Samuel is how much God prizes humility in our relationship with him and how we express that with others. You know, at the very beginning of Samuel in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah gives this prayer of thanksgiving, this praise. And one of the things she says in there is how God exalts the humble and brings down the proud. And you can see that narrated through the whole book and certainly in David's life. And it's interesting, at the very end of the book, David writes a poem looking back over his own life and reflecting on what has transpired. And one of the things that he says is, God has been my refuge and strength. God has been the one who has, you know, provided for me all the way. And that's fascinating to me because you think of all the things David could have celebrated at the end of his life.
Wow.
His defeat of Goliath, you know, all those amazing accomplishments that he's done. But in his testimony, if you want to put it that way, his public testimony, he really focuses on God's faithfulness, what God has done, often even in spite of himself. And I think that's an encouragement to us to know, you know, it's really not about what we have done, but about what God has done for us. And often our failures highlight that aspect of it even more.
Wow. That's a really interesting distinction, and I hadn't thought about it like that. But yes, he, as a king who had a lot of success, and we saw some time where he did want to celebrate his successes, we see throughout his life, and kind of be reminded, hey, I'm the guy who did this. By the end of his life, picture of humility, of saying, this is a picture of God's faithfulness in my life. How have you experienced that in your own life, God's faithfulness?
Oh, there's so many times where you think of how God has provided for us, you know, as a family, and times when, boy, we were wondering, you know, how is this going to turn out? Or even, I'll tell you a quick story about this. When I was in college, I was an intern at my home church, and the senior pastor had asked me to give a sermon on a Sunday night. Now, I had just come off of a youth retreat. I had come home, you know, like hardly any sleep, and I had totally forgotten that he had asked me to do this.
Oh, boy.
And so, right, all of a sudden, he's throwing me in there. Hey, you know, in about an hour, you're giving the sermon, right? And I just had this panic, right? Oh, no. What am I going to do? I don't know what to say. And, you know, it's been a few times trying to throw some things together. And I gave a sermon, and I have to tell you, it was it was a train wreck.
Oh, boy.
Like, you could tell just as you're giving it, like, oh, no, I'm a little nervous, getting discombobulated. And afterwards, you know, you get that sense of failure, like, oh, I just really dropped the ball. How could God use that? And a couple weeks later, a guy came to my dad, actually, he was at my home church. So this guy came and talked to my dad, and he said, you know, your son gave that sermon a couple weeks ago, and I have to say, I didn't think it was that great, but my daughter, God used that to totally transform my daughter's life.
Whoa.
And was able to experience the gospel in a way that she hadn't before. And I remember being just so humbled by that, to say, wow, there's an example of God using something that I knew was a poor offering at the time. It was really, this is not an excuse to not prepare for things.
Right.
But the fact that God can use even that.
Yeah. So there was no even a thought in your mind. There was no sense of like, wow, I gave this great sermon and it changed someone's life. There was no opportunity for pride there because it had gone so poorly.
Right. It was kind of like, it really set me back to think, wow, God was really at work in this, because yeah, it for sure wasn't me.
Oh, boy. God works through imperfect people. One of the big takeaways from this month's Today in the Word. It's available on the app. It's on the website. There's a publication by mail. I want you to text the word TODAY to our number. You can get the link today to 312-274-9624. Text the word TODAY to 312-274-9624. Also, you're going to find a downloadable for your family with some weekly scripture readings. I took a look at it the other day, and it is phenomenal. This is going to be great to go through this with your kids. Dr. Cook, final word here.
My prayer for everyone who has a chance to do this study is that they would be led to that place of understanding who God is and who they are before Him, and have that sense of humility and trust in how God has provided for them and what God's doing in their own lives.
Yeah. Dr. Cook, thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Hang out with the team after the show. Just follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, we're looking at this passage of scripture. All week long, we're going to be talking about testimonies and stories, hopefully giving you some practical tips for sharing your story, sharing your testimony in a way that's going to really relate to other people. Mark chapter 5, we see this story. Jesus encountering a man who has been possessed by many demons. And when he receives his healing, when he's back in his right mind and he's fully clothed and he's no longer sitting and cutting himself in the tombs, he wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus says, no, I want you to stay here. Go home to your friends, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That was the assignment that he was given. So I want you to think about your story, your testimony, and specifically this angle. How has the Lord shown you mercy? That's a good prompt to get you thinking of one way that you might share your story. Young Thunder, how has the Lord shown you mercy? You have an example.
Yeah, the Lord has shown me mercy through my wife.
How so?
Well, because before I met her, I was very much so, you know, I do things for myself. I'm going to do things, you know, to give myself the best outcome. It's all for me. Me. I wanted to do things my way.
Okay.
God gave me mercy in her because first he gave me someone who I love deeply. And that is kind of what got me out of a selfish mindset, because I loved her. I wanted to do things for her to make her happy. And then that kind of worked its way into, you know, growing in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because she is such a spiritual fortress, I guess. Her trust in God is undeniable. Mm. And it really helped me learn how to have a trust in God, how to be a spiritually strong man.
Yeah.
And also, I think that because of my love for her, God helped use that to deal with me in the ways that he knew I needed to be dealt with. Mm. So, you know, like I've shared before, I believed in God, but I wasn't really following him. God used my love for her to understand why following him was so important. Mm-hmm. And I truly don't know how else he would have done it without her.
Yeah.
And so I can truly say that God used her not just to give me, you know, a blessing of a woman who I love, but also to save my soul. I truly believe God used her to do that as well.
Yeah. You know, this the picture of God's mercy, and you read other times in scripture where people cry out to God asking for mercy.
Yeah.
Normally what they're asking for is compassion, for a release of some sort, for relief of some burden that they're carrying or some suffering that they're experiencing. How has the Lord shown you mercy? Let's go to Eric calling in this morning from Chicago. Eric, how has the Lord shown you mercy? Give me an example.
Okay, real quick. Before Jesus, I was given to alcohol. I was sometimes homeless, sometimes in jail, never went to college, never learned a trade, and thought my life was pretty much over by the time I was 25, that I would go nowhere. And fast forward 20 years after Jesus, I have a responsible job that I've been at for about 20 years. I'm able to provide for my family. He's given me the opportunity to have respect and a good job and to provide for my family and to live a normal human productive life.
Wow. Eric, thank you so much for calling in this morning. That's a great example. The Lord shows us mercy. He shows us compassion. Think about your story this morning. Do you have an example that comes to mind, is fresh on your heart? How has the Lord shown you mercy? 312-274-9624.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Are you someone who watches local news? Do you watch the news, Jonathan? Do you watch local news? Cindy, you do here in the mornings just to kind of keep up on what's going on.
Yeah,
right?
I usually have news on to check things out, but local news, I haven't watched local news in a little while.
So here's a fun fact. I worked in local news as a television news reporter for several years. And one of the biggest stories that I remember covering was this explosion at a factory plant. It was a plant where they made plastics. And there was this major explosion. There was 4 people that were killed. The entire town had to be evacuated. The interstate had to be shut down for like 6 hours. I mean, for this small town, it was one of the biggest stories that had happened in, you know, decades. And so I got a phone call. I was off that day and I got a phone call from the news department where I worked. And they said, we're going to need you to come in. Everybody's got to come in because this is a really big story. So I go in and I get my reporter notebook and I load up the van. And when you have a story like that, it's this one big thing that's happening. But really what they'll do is they'll assign different reporters different angles. So all 4 reporters from our station, we're not going to go and try to interview the same people.
Sure.
We each had to take a different angle. So Young Thunder, what might be an angle of a story like this? There's an explosion at this factory. There were some fatalities. It was the impact on the community was huge. What might be one angle that a reporter might be sent out to cover?
One angle a reporter might be sent out to cover would be you got to go try to find the families of the people who've passed away, maybe.
Yeah.
To get their take on things.
Which, quick side note, that was the part of being a reporter that I hated the most.
Understandably so.
Was trying to talk to people who were experiencing the worst day of their lives.
Yeah, in that moment.
Yeah, and that was always when I even think about it, having to try to interview people. I mean, and sometimes there were people found solace in being able to talk about their loved one and being able to kind of tell their own side of the story. But I got to tell you, man, walking up with a microphone to somebody who has just experienced a loss was always the worst part of the job for me. And part of the reason why I said, you know what? I don't know if being a local news reporter is for me.
I can understand
that. But on this day, I was committed to getting the story. What's another angle that you might have?
Well, then you're going to talk to, you know, the employees of the plant themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to talk to neighbors. You're going to talk to the mayor who now has to try to figure out how do I manage all these different disruptions to services and the fallout that's going to happen in our community. So with one big story, there are lots of different angles, and it's really not so different when we think about our story. The biggest story for all of us who've been transformed by the power of Christ. That's the biggest story of our lives.
Yeah.
That is the lead story. That'll be the lead story on every nightly news, right?
True that.
There is no bigger story than what Jesus has done for you. But there are different angles that you might share at different times. So if you've gotten accustomed to sharing your story only one way, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge me. What are some layers to it? What are some angles that you might not have explored yet? And why is this important? Let's talk about that coming up. Why is it important to have different angles of your story, the lead story that you can share? We'll talk about it.
Going deeper in our relationship with Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Why might it be important to have different angles to your story, your testimony of what God has done in your life? What do you think, Jonathan?
Well, I kind of think about it like a movie. So, you know, me and my wife went to go see a movie this weekend. And when we are done and driving home, we talk to each other about, okay, what was your favorite part? What was your favorite? Did you like the movie? And we're sharing with each other different parts of the story that we really liked, that meant a lot to us. And they're different. You know, she has a different perspective on things, how she saw things and the things that stuck out to her than I did. And so I think with testimonies, it's somewhat the same way, because although it's not for our entertainment, a testimony story, it is, you know, different parts of somebody's story can stick out to other people. So for me, you know, I could share my story and Allie, you could really be touched or moved by something that I shared about, you know, my struggle before Christ found me and how he saved me from that, you know. And then Carl may hear my story and he may hear, you know, wow, God was working in the scenes all along, and he may, you know, point out things that didn't mean as much to you. So I think that it's the same way. When we share different aspects, we increase the capacity to reach more people.
Yeah, I think that that's well put. And it's important to really plumb the depths of what God has done and is doing in your life. I want to point you to a passage of scripture we've been looking at all morning, Mark 5. This is when Jesus encounters a man who is possessed by many demons. He calls himself Legion, and he has been tormented. He lives in the tombs, and he's unclothed, and he cuts himself with stones, and he cries out. And the townspeople have tried to restrain him. He's been shackled and chained, and he always seems to break free. So we get this picture of this man who is totally tormented, not in his right mind, and is really living a dark sort of existence. And then when he encounters Jesus, Jesus commands these unclean spirits to come out of him, and they go into a herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs rushes over a cliff. It's kind of a wild story, but I really want to focus on a couple of verses. This is at the end of this short little passage, Mark 5, starting with verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. When you think about your story, here's one thing I want to prompt you with today. How has the Lord shown you mercy? When Jesus gave this man his assignment, go home, talk to your friends, tell them what I've done for you. Tell them how I've shown you mercy. Tell them how I've shown you compassion. I've had pity on you. I've restored you. So I want you to think about it. How would you answer that question? How has the Lord shown you mercy? If you've got an example, I'd love to hear from you. 312-274-9624. How has the Lord shown you mercy or compassion? 312-274-9624. Let's go to Willie from Chicago. How has the Lord shown you mercy?
Good morning. The Lord showed me mercy at a young age. I had a heart attack when I was 26, and I was in the hospital, and they diagnosed me at having a heart attack. I was living in the streets and had a resident, but I was living in the streets with an addiction.
Yeah.
And I had a heart attack. And while I was in the hospital, the 3 weeks or the month that I was in the hospital, the Lord showed me that he could deliver me. And I turned to Christ while I was in the hospital.
Wow.
And while I was in the hospital, they told me some things that I didn't accept. They said that I would walk with a limp or drag a limb, but I have slurred speech. Fast forward, the Lord delivered me from everything that they said, because 10 years after I was 26, I was 36 and I ran a marathon. So I don't have I don't drag a limb. I don't talk with slurred speech. And I don't do drugs. I don't drink. And I'm a businessman at 75.
Oh, Willie, thank you so much for calling in this morning. You have experienced the mercy of God, doing life your own way, and yet in his mercy, he brought you to himself. Thanks for calling in this morning. Hard to believe it, but it's already almost 9 o'clock.
I know.
You hear the music, and that means it's time for...
What did we learn today?
Young Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, I loved, Allie, the idea that you brought today about our story has tons of different angles. You know, there's things that we can focus on in our story, and today we focused on, you know, the mercy that God had for us. But there are so many aspects of it, more than we give it credit for sometimes.
Yeah.
So to look into your story and see, okay, where are the angles here in which I can glorify Jesus?
Yeah. It's a fun thing to talk about because I'm a former news reporter. I love telling people's stories. In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm one of those people who has a testimony that's sort of complicated. So I'm still working on trying to tell my own story.
Yeah.
So I think selfishly this appeals to me because I'm in process with this myself.
Absolutely.
But it's so important to mine the layers of your story. I want to squeeze in one more phone call. We've got a minute or two. Melvin, we'll squeeze you in. Melvin from Gary, Indiana. You wanted to answer today's question. How has the Lord shown you mercy? Give us that element of your story.
The element of service, I was facing some jail time, and the Gideons were the only visitors I had, and one of the guys told me to read the book of John. And as I read the book of John, I experienced a transformation of understanding God's love. And in that time, the mercy was the time he spared me from.
Yeah.
I went from a bunch of years to 7 months I was out. But the interesting part in your story that you're talking about today is how it compelled me to want to share that with my family.
Yeah.
And that's been my driving force ever since that moment, was to be able to give to my family what I got so they can understand the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the love of God. And that has compelled me through even my life. And so now, right now, I'm 68. At that time, I was 32. A lot of ups and downs, but that's been the driving force.
Thank you. Melvin from Gary, Indiana, a picture of God's mercy. You receive his mercy, makes you want to share his mercy with others.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.